Welcome, Satyam Parry. It brings me also to another question. And you have people who are coming since the first concert, since the first satsang to you, so very loyal. And for some people it's so clear when they're on their spiritual journey, okay, there is a master. There are some masters and teachers. And at the same time, as far as I perceive both of you, you always encourage, like, be yourself, listen to your own heart, and get in touch with your own inner master, right? And so how, or let me put it in that way, because there is this cycle that, yeah, you join a retreat, everything is beautiful, you feel very much connected, and then you go back to your daily life, and then again, it's always a kind of cycle. And in that combination, also, I would say even a trap to project the masters outside, like you too, then it's like, yeah, but Pari said... Or Satya said. So how to step out of that cycle in a way that still for sure to worship and appreciate you as masters or teachers, however everyone wants to call you, and at the same time not to forget your own inner master.
Well, I would say as long as one has a need for the proximity to a master or a teacher or to be also in this energy field, I think one should just go for it and follow that. I think it's not, one is not deciding this really. I think it comes on its own accord. I can say about myself, at one point I was ready to look more within and see, oh, actually... all is within, and but the love, and I think if Papaji was still alive today, I would still maybe not spend my whole life there, although who knows? it's not in my hand. I mean, that's also the beauty, that we are still alive and that people can still come back, and if there's a doubt, or express it in a satsang, and this is a luck to be able to have this proximity, actually. And we are not yet so... we don't have thousands and thousands of people coming to us that would make it more difficult to have access. In a way, the proximity is very... it's a gift, I would say. So it's a nice dance. In my case, when I knew Papaji would die soon, and I was happy that I lived in the West and with Pari on Pari's invitation, and still could go there to see, oh, what do I still need, or is there still something? And it's a beautiful dance, these two things, to have this this luxury. It doesn't come on, I think it comes on its own accord.
Yeah, it's a very important question insofar because we're dealing here with projections. And it has to start from somewhere. The search for love, for truth, for realization of the self, of who am I, has to start in one's own heart as a desire, as a thirst. And of course, this then is being projected upon a master, and the master is being called by your own desire, by your wish. As they say so beautifully, the master shows up in the exact right time for the exact right person, for the exact right need. So everybody actually, according to the universal law, gets the right master, in the right person, in the right manifestation, in the right time, where he can really make use of it. But this does not stop there, because ultimately, actually, what the ecstasy and the happiness of a true master is to see a smiling heart in the so-called seeker and disciple when he realizes he and the master is exactly the one and the same reality. So there is no question of dependency. There is not even a question of distance between a disciple and guru or master. This is the ecstasy, the unspoken ecstasy of a master, to see the same light shining in the so-called students. He is so happy. He's so extremely happy, because that's what it is all about. It's not to keep a certain value system only upright, or new religion, or new dependencies, or codependencies. Neither the master needs a disciple, nor the disciple needs the master at the end. In the beginning, it might look like this, but actually, ultimately, we are all children of the same one love and reality. We all his or her, name it as you like, children. And one child takes the other child by the hand, and together one walks each other home.
Would you say that Papaji was at the beginning also a kind of protection to you, like having an external master, and then, as you said, like it changed somehow? So also in which way? Because I feel like it's so important to be clear also about the matter of responsibility, because in that master-disciple relationship, what could happen probably if you're in that on your seeking journey maybe for 20, 30 years, there could be the risk that you hand over your own responsibility to a master, so to say, and then it's a question, so how to get back to your own self-responsibility without denying the relationship with your master, right? Because it's okay, Papaji said, that's why I'm doing that. So it's a thin line, you know. So would you say that Papaji was a kind of protection at the beginning and then it changed somehow? Or how would you describe that?
I don't think Papaji was interested in having disciples anyway. He was interested in people to be free. He allowed it. Say it again, your question.
So if it was at the beginning also in a way, like Pari mentioned, that a master is a kind of projection at the beginning and this could be helpful, but then over the time it's changing. Or how was the relationship?
I think either you fall in love with your master or you don't. It's a very deep relation, I need to say. It's not only about a projection, but it's a deeper, it has a deeper connection. Yeah, either one loves and trusts or one doesn't, you know. And then if you trust and love, then miracles can happen. It's invisible. You cannot really... It's beyond mind and thoughts. And, you know, I had also moments of doubts of... Sometimes I went away, traveled in India, and that was too much for me, this whole thing. Came back full of doubt. You know, but I think once you have a little taste of it, you cannot forget it. It will haunt you your whole life. You might pretend, oh no, I don't need that. Oh, again, a seminar. Oh, again, a retreat. Oh. But if you have a little taste of that, you cannot lead your life like you did before. And better to to go for it, because otherwise you create suffering for yourself.
Yeah, I like this very much, what Satya pointed out, because it can be not only classified as a classic projection only. This is one aspect. The other aspect, what Satya pointed out, is the aspect of falling in love with the master. This is another dimension, which is ultimately actually the same. And you allow also to be guided. It is without feeling you are dependent, you allow even to ask practical matters, spiritual matters, and you, because you love and trust this personified energy that you so much adore, you see in your master God incarnated in the highest sense, and you can talk to him. So it is such a goosebump experience to be allowing yourself to be guided because you love. There is no question. And it's also important sometimes, you know, one wavers, one has a mind, one can doubt and this and that, because it's, every relationship has this kind of coming and going, or higher or lower. But ultimately you feel it's about using this chance to be guided. And for this can be decades actually, till this happens what I mentioned in the beginning, that one realizes one is the same. It can happen in one lifetime if one is lucky. It can happen in 50 lifetimes. Nobody can say. But at least those who are ready and courageous enough to be guided, they benefit a million times. Even if they don't care about we are one and the same, you know, not in an Advaitic sense, just out of love, they have been helped in myriad, billion ways just to be allowing to be guided. Because this is actually humiliating the ego that thinks I have to do it myself. Love is a decisive factor in this. Absolutely, and they don't negate each other. This, I'm doing it myself, but I don't want to follow anybody. Ultimately, I'm responsible for my life, not this master, not anybody. At the same time, I do whatever you tell me to do because I trust and love you. Yes, I was myself ready. If he told me jump in the well, I would have done. Because I knew it has no other value. All my actions, they are a failure, they are a success, but it doesn't make me happy. So this has to be decided from person to person. And the master always picks up the so-called master and the so-called student where the student is.
For me, it's then the question, as you describe it now, you feel like, okay, I'm doing the things and then doesn't matter, just tell me tell me what to do, I will do, because there's so much love and trust. And then for me, the question is, so who is really doing here anything?
That is the point, yeah, exactly. Because there's only one Ekonkar Satnam, as they sing so beautifully in the Kundalini Yoga. There's only one actor in this whole game. There's only God. Only God exists, nothing else. Not you, not me, not the master, not the disciple, only God. That is why one can, if one understands, the heart understands earlier than the head, that it doesn't matter whom to follow, myself, my ego, my master, it doesn't really matter. So I follow this man because I love him, or this woman because I love her. This is the decisive point where it is defining actually who will reach the so-called goal or no goal. It's a matter of surrender.
And just to have it really, really clear regarding responsibility, when you look to your relationship with Papaji, would you say that still you took your own self-responsibility for your own life, so to say, because it's a connection, right, which doesn't stop or which is not separate, so to say. Because for sure people also can use it like, okay, here's my cosmic garbage, take care of it. You're the master, so to say, because that could be the other extreme, right? And then for sure everyone has to lead his or her own life. And people are coming with all the questions, and especially those who are coming to you like for 20, 30 years. So how to find, is it a kind of balance? I'm not sure regarding responsibility, you know. Because you also can make it very easy and say, here it is, here's my garbage, take care of it.
Well, I did that actually. I said, take my life, take my life. I was 25 and I sometimes thought, what am I doing? I could have had a career as an artist in Geneva, and my path was quite going in a good way, you know. And I, at one point when I had doubts, I thought, oh, just take it all. I give it all to you. And I didn't worry anymore. So, and if you looked from a right way to do things, it was a bit crazy to do that and stop your studies and just live in India. But if you dedicate, I see that if one dedicates really one's life to it, it gives you after it 1,000 times more things, or it gives it back. It floods you 1,000 times more than what you would have done on your own. It's something I can't really understand, but
that's the miracle what you mentioned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. basically, you give up 1 kilo of trouble and worry and personal responsibility, and you get loaded with 1,000 tons of flowers and beauty and love. That is the whole thing. My own responsibility. What is that? You know, this is a dream. I didn't create my own life here. It's life itself living through me as life. And surrendering to that, understanding that guru, self, master, God is one and the same. Master, self, guru, there is no need for any... Then what are you giving up? Nothing you give up. Just a dream that I have my personal life, my personal stories, issues, you know. That is all what one gives up.